Hi, this is Shannon Storms-Bedore, Real Housewife of Orange County and entrepreneur. When my company, Real for Real, started selling our health products online, we struggled to ship our orders out quickly and without error. But ShipStation's simple dashboard made it easy to manage orders from every marketplace. Plus, with ShipStation, we get up to 84% off USPS and UPS rates. Automate your shipping with ShipStation. Go to ShipStation.com/audio for a free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com/audio.
Yo, yo, hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So week zero starts this week in college football. Then you'll have week one. So I'll call that the first 2 weeks of the college football season. And quite frankly, not a lot of marquee games. Like coming up this weekend, Notre Dame plays, but they play Navy. USC plays, and they're a 31-point favorite up against San Jose State. I guess on Thursday, August 31st, you could have a decent matchup. Utah is back-to-back Pac-12 champs. Florida no longer has Anthony Richardson. There's some uncertainty if Cam Rising is going to play. Coming up for Cam Rising, coming off that injury that he suffered in the Penn State Rose Bowl game. And right now, Utah's only a 4.5-point favorite, which seems low. But I'm going to assume that's with the uncertainty around Cam Rising, even though he said, I think a week or two ago, that he plans on playing the first game of the season. Other games, Colorado, TCU, Deion Sanders supposed to join us tomorrow. There's intrigue there. TCU was in the national championship game a season ago. Yes, they've lost Max Duggan. They lost Quinnen Johnston as well. Everyone wants to see what Deion Sanders is going to do in year one at Colorado, even though that team does not have high expectations. Boise State, Washington, that could be a good game. Washington has Michael Penix and Kalen DeBoer. You look at the rest of the schedule, like, I haven't really said a game yet that's maybe said, ooh and ah. Like, West Virginia, Penn State, no one expects West Virginia to be any good besides Neil Brown. Penn State, there's big expectations. You know what a game I have intrigue for opening weekend? North Carolina, South Carolina. I like that matchup with Drake May and Spencer Rattler. I know DJ Uiagalelei won the Oregon State job today, but they go up against San Jose State. Of course, you have LSU and Florida State, but that's on Sunday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. And then on that Monday, you have Clemson and Duke. Now, you look through the schedule, Hickey, the first 2 weeks of the season, week zero and week one, and it's a lot of games. And I know that this is the time of the year where the cupcakes usually get scheduled. But you can make the case the only game that you have to watch, and that's someone that just said, I like the North Carolina-South Carolina matchup, but really the only game that is must-watch, it feels like, unless I'm missing something here, is number 5 LSU up against number 8 Florida State. And LSU could have the best quarterback in the SEC. They have the best defensive player in the SEC. And then for Florida State, I like Mike Norvell a lot, and he showed that last year, and their quarterback is also really good, and he returns. But you look at the rest of the schedule for week zero and week one, unless you got some skin in the game gambling, a lot of these games are snooze fests and bad games to start off the college football season.
Yeah, not a premier card. You know, you still got some along the way in September that kind of leave you interested and leave you juiced, but you want maybe one or two other big-time matchups on that Saturday to kind of kick off the season, so a little disappointing there, but and you got some ones coming down the pike in a little bit, so.
You're going to West Virginia, Penn State, is that right?
Yep. I'll be there week one.
When are you traveling up there?
Friday.
You're going that Friday, and that's a 7:30 p.m. Eastern time kick?
Yep.
So where are you staying?
At a hotel.
At State College?
Yeah, oh yeah.
How much did that run you?
I don't know. My parents got it. They're going to.
Oh, it's a parent trip here.
They're going to, yep.
So you got the entire Hickey family. Your mom, your dad, is your sister going?
No, it is just us three.
Oh, it's so okay. Look who's the favorite child there. Ryan Hot Take Hickey. So just the three of you guys are going, staying on campus that Friday night. What are you going to do that Friday night with your parents? You guys going to go out for dinner anywhere?
Gonna try. I mean, that's the only thing I hate about going to a Penn State game is the town is swarmed.
You know what you got to do?
It is so hard to find places to go eat, get in. It's kind of one of those where you get in, you stay there the whole night.
You know what I need? I have one request that week. I need you to go to Are You Hungry and review the fat bitch sandwich.
I think you should do that. Open. I got to check if it's open.
Oh, it's definitely still open. A place like that, With all the shenanigans that college kids do?
State College is getting very bougie now. I hate to say it. A lot of the old haunts that me and my friends used to go to now are getting wiped out.
There's no way a place that is marketed to stoners and just college kids that just get fully intoxicated, I would be shocked if that place is out of business. It's called Are You Hungry, right?
Yes, with the letters Are You.
Okay. Are You Hungry at Penn State? Oh, no, it's open. All it's right. Still open. They're closed on Mondays, but they're open Friday until 2:30 a.m. Maybe Papa Hickey gets a little messed up, drunk like the skunk, and you go get him a fat bitch sandwich. I think that'd be good content. Father Hickey and son Hickey, drunk as skunks at Are You Hungry? Would be good. Breaking down the Penn State season. You guys go win-loss over a fat bitch sandwich.
Some father-son bonding right there.
Yeah, man, that must be tough. Because you're right, I've been to Penn State once. And I actually stayed in Harrisburg on that Friday night and then made the drive the next day because you just couldn't get a place on campus. It was absolutely crazy. Where are you guys sitting?
In the end zone, upper deck.
Do you guys have, like, season tickets or you just bought? Oh, you
do? Season tickets, oh, yeah.
You bought season tickets?
Yep.
Do your parents go to every game or no?
No, we go to one game a year.
So you go to, and then you sell the rest of them?
Yep.
Man, not a lot of good home games this year.
Well, Michigan's the one.
Well, that's the one, but that's the one that you make all your money.
West Virginia's good at night to start it off. Iowa's going to be the whiteout game, and you got Michigan later in the year. That should be, hopefully, if everything goes to plan, the biggest home game I've ever seen as a Penn State alum / fan / student. That's for sure. So at least at a decade, bare minimum. You can probably go back to 05 Ohio State, but even still, that game was... This could be the biggest Penn State home game in my lifetime, possibly. 2-3.
30-20 loss.
So we'll see. It could be the hype going into that game that week could be massive. I hope that's the case.
It's so weird because you're confident with Penn State this year, but then when you talk about them on the radio, I feel as if you're just waiting for the letdown to happen. Like you don't want to count your chickens before they hatch. That's what I kind of get from you.
I am a little superstitious, I'll be honest. So I don't want to say anything that's going to cost, I'm not going to touch the money now. If the week comes and they are 9-0 and Michigan's 9-0, I'll touch the money and I'll get excited.
Would you lay the 20.5 Penn State, West Virginia in week one?
Probably. Yes, I would.
West Virginia stinks. Whenever Penn State is a favorite, does Hickey not lay the money?
West Virginia stinks. I mean, I'm a little nervous just to see what Drew Allen making his first start. Maybe a little, butterflies.
Oh, stop.
It's going to be a big environment. Get a slow start, 3 touchdowns. But they should handle West Virginia easily.
If they lose that game, week one jitters, like you're saying, and they lose, is it just, okay, the season's over even before it really got underway?
Well, no, because you have Ohio State and Michigan on the schedule. You sweep those two teams, you're in the playoff no matter what.
But you're not going to sweep those teams. You're at best going to split.
So that's the saving grace, if you will, with a non-conference game. It's, in a way, I mean, you shouldn't lose that game, but you take care of business against Ohio State and Michigan, then that loss is forgiven.
And win the Big Ten championship, then.
That loss is forgiven.
If you guys lose to West Virginia right out of the gate, man, it's going to be an awesome Monday when you come on back. That's going to be a whole lot of fun. Or that would be a Tuesday, right? Because Monday's Labor Day?
Monday is Labor Day, yes, sir.
So are you staying Sunday in Penn State? You're gonna drive back Sunday?
No, coming home.
Are you driving back after the game on Saturday night?
No, game's 7:30.
I don't know.
It's a 4 or 5 hour drive.
I could see your dad, who like comes off as a man's man, said, I'm not paying another night for the hotel. I'm driving straight through for the 5 hours.
No
back.
Way.
How much do Penn State season tickets cost?
He does them. I do not know. We used to, part of the reason why I got him is because
right
I got a student discount. For the first 5 years, so we rode that for a while. And this is, I think, because of COVID, this is either the first or second year that it's, I think the second year, where it's quote-unquote full price. But you get a little discount because we've had them now for a few years.
So getting into this weekend, you have Navy, Notre Dame, San Jose State, and USC. Notre Dame should win. The question is, do they just cover the 20.5? And USC is going to blow out San Jose State. The question just is, do they cover the 31 points. I know Notre Dame lost to Marshall last year, so you can't always just assume things are going to happen. But remember, Navy has a new head football coach with Ken Niumatu-Lolo no longer being with the Navy program. Expectations for Notre Dame and USC this year. I know that you believe USC will be in the college football playoff. That should be their expectation when you have the reigning Heisman Trophy of the year winner, and you also have Lincoln Riley. I'm going to pick, though, when you say USC against the field, in the Pac-12, I'm going to pick the field of the Pac-12. You have some other really good teams like Washington with Michael Penix, with Oregon, with Bo Nix. And my pick is Washington. Utah has won the conference the last 2 years. I know they lost Dalton Kincaid to the draft, right, going to Buffalo in the first round. But you do also still have Cam Rising. It's just how much rust is there to knock off with Cam Rising coming off the injury. So you go through this entire Notre Dame, you go through this entire USC conversation. Why are you so confident when last year, Hickey, USC didn't get to where they wanted to go because of their lack of defense? They really haven't made that many changes on the defensive side of the ball. Why do you think this will be good enough in USC's final year of the Pac-12 to find their way to winning the Pac-12 and getting the college football playoff? Also, you're going to have a lot of Pac-12 teams beat up against one another, so I do wonder, with how good the Pac-12 is on paper, if the Pac-12 champion even gets in to the college football playoff as well.
Well, speaking of defense, I mean, this is the logic I'm going with, and it has to be true. It can't be any worse. It truly cannot be any worse. They were horrendous last year. They could not tackle anybody. Me and you would have ran for a touchdown without a doubt had the ball in our hands. So it cannot be any worse. So it's going to get better because you are rock-bottom defense. Also, so look at, like, I think a lot of people were overlooking this fact last year with how bad the defense was and some injury and a loss of attrition. USC, before Caleb Williams popped his hamstring, was about to run Utah out of the building in the Pac-12 title game and go to the college football playoff. He gets hurt. That game dramatically shifts, and all of a sudden Utah wins. I'm not making excuses. That's a fact. They went right up and down the field. I think it was two or three possessions, either about to go 14-3 or 21-3. They were moving the ball, and Utah could not stop them. Caleb Williams all of a sudden pulls up lame. He's running on one leg the rest of the game, and there goes the season. So I'm going to defend, or I'm going to pick and ride the best quarterback in college football with a tremendous offensively driven head coach with the defense that can't be any worse, and a team that, for the flaws they had last year in piecing an entire brand new team together in the first year under Lincoln Riley, was one Caleb Williams popped hamstring away and 2.5 quarters away from winning the Pac-12 and going to the college football playoff. I think things would be better in year number two. I'm going to take the Trojans here to win the conference and go to the playoff.
So you think they're going to have two losses or fewer and be Pac-12 champions?
12-1.
12-1.
And they also get a lot of their, for the most part, big games at home. Oregon's on the road, which is tough. Notre Dame's on the road, which is tough.
Yeah, but you know
what? Utah comes to town. Washington comes to town.
So they'll be 6-0. Their first six games are San Jose State, Nevada, Stanford, Arizona State, Colorado, and Arizona. They'll win all those games. You lose any of those games, you don't deserve to go to the college football playoff. But their schedule to wrap up the season, Notre Dame, tough. Utah, tough. All right, you play Cal, not going to scare anybody. Then you get Washington and Oregon back-to-back weeks. And then UCLA. Man, the way that schedule is played on out, that's tricky for USC. But you're not wrong in terms of, the expectation should be to go to college football playoff. But I just, even though they have the best quarterback, when you look at how many other good teams there are on the Pac-12, that's why I go with the field in the Pac-12. Now, let's get to Notre Dame. Notre Dame has Sam Hartman. Marcus Freeman improved at the end of the season. You know what concerns me, though, with Notre Dame? Notre Dame now, in a four-team format, this will be different when we go to 12. They almost have to have a perfect resume. Because even though previous years shouldn't factor into it, Notre Dame, even though they vastly improved their football program when Brian Kelly got there, and we know how bad it was before then, and we know the brand of Notre Dame is always phenomenal, but I'm talking about the last 15, 20 years. But Notre Dame has got to a bunch of big games, and they have not performed well. And I feel as if the public has lost the benefit of the doubt on Notre Dame in a four-team format, where they have to almost be perfect for them not to get in. I mean, for them to get in. You look at that schedule, they play Ohio State on September 23rd. It's a good early game to start the year. Even though you have 1, 2, 3, 4 games before that. You have USC on October 14th. You got Clemson, part of the ACC, on November 4th. Those three games, and I don't know how good Clemson's going to be. I like Florida State in the ACC, but you could argue that Clemson's going to win the ACC once again. Those three games, you better win 2 out of 3. And if you want to be Notre Dame and go to the college football playoff, you could only have one loss, I think, on your resume. And Ohio State, USC, and Clemson, Hickey, those are three really tough games.
If they go 1-3, I think, or 1-2, it's a win. Out of those three, you win one of those three, that's a win.
But two losses, you're not going to get into the college football playoff.
Well, they're not a college football playoff team this year.
If they only have one loss, though, they could be.
Yeah, that, well, yeah, that schedule, absolutely. But
right now,
they're not good enough to beat
Ohio
State, USC, and or Clemson. They're not.
You
those three teams are
win,
better.
It's impossible for them to win two out of three there.
I think so. That's what I said. If you win one, I think that's a success. You go 10-2, 9-3, I think that's where kind of their ceiling is.
Yeah, it's a step in the right direction with a newer head football coach, but I can't be celebrating a success winning one game out of three. Like, there's questions about Ohio State this year. Now, Ohio State's loaded at wide receiver. We don't even know who their quarterback's going to be. USC doesn't have a defense. Their offense is phenomenal. And then Clemson, there's major question marks, even though they won the ACC last year. How elite is that program still? And I never usually advocate for Notre Dame. But that Notre Dame team, their schedule is tough. But because of those three games and having to almost have a perfect resume, I would agree they're probably not going to the college football playoff this year. But man, this opening weekend in college football, week zero and week one, can we get some better games, please? But I do like that LSU-Florida State game. That's going to be fun. I remember how that ended last year with the missed extra point and Florida State winning. And look how the narrative changed throughout the year on Brian Kelly. And now people love Brian Kelly once again with his family down in LSU. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. We'll preview the San Francisco 49ers next. The Zach Gelb Show is sponsored in part by BetterHelp. Sometimes in life, we're faced with tough choices and the path forward isn't always clear. Whether you're dealing with decisions around career, relationships, or anything else, therapy helps you stay connected to what you really want while you navigate life so you can move forward with confidence and excitement. Trusting yourself to make decisions that align with your values is like anything. The more you practice it, the easier it gets. Therapy can give you the tools to find more balance in your life so you can keep supporting others without feeling yourself left behind. You know, we've all been through some unpredictable times over the past few years, and it's not a sign of weakness to ask for help. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Gelb, that's G-E-L-B, today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Gelb.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So Chris Jones, who has 1 year left on his contract with the Kansas City, how about those Chiefs, has still not showed up to training camp. And he's obviously not been a part of the team right now. He's already accumulated, I think, over like $1 million in fines. And he's scheduled to make, I think, just under $20 million for this upcoming season when you look at his contract. And this is the final year of his deal. And you take a glance at it. Yeah, he's about to, base salary is $19.5 million this year. And he's playing a tough game right now because he's been saying right now, and he tweeted this out today. So here we go. A fan tweeted him, Chris Jones, so when are you going to show up? Because you'd be playing too much on Twitter and social media. You've been an all-pro on social media during training camp. You're under contract for this year, correct? For how much money, man, I bet it's rough to live on $20 million a year. So here's the thing. We can't relate to Chris Jones. Because Chris Jones is playing a lethal game. Chris Jones is sensational at his job. And all of us would love to make $20 million a year. I get that. Heck, we would all love to make $1 million a year. But for Chris Jones, if you feel like you're worth more money, you only have such a limited time to get your money in football. So if you want to hold out, then you could do that. And it's going to cost you some money, but he already has a lot of money, so he could afford it. So it's one of those things where I know why fans get annoyed at it, but it's tough for me to get annoyed at Chris Jones if he feels like he's getting underpaid. But I just don't know really what's to gain here for Chris Jones if this does start the season starts and he's not there. And he said today that he's willing to sit out until week 8. And then someone said that would be a hefty tab, and he said he could afford it. So right now, you look at Chris Jones, he's already accumulated $1 million in fines by missing training camps, and he would lose an additional a little over $1 million for each game missed. But if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, Hickey, even though you'd rather have Chris Jones there, and sometimes you play that game where a player says he's going to show up and then he doesn't show up. Look at what happened with Le'Veon Bell. We all remember that. And he never showed up. But if you're Kansas City, if he's going to show up by week 8, and week 8 would be the Denver Broncos game, I'm going to assume that he's not going to have a new contract worked out. And he gets to avoid the first 7 games of the year, and then you get him back for pretty much the second half of the season to go make a Super Bowl run. Now, I don't know what shape he's going to show up in. I don't know how much rust there's going to be that he's going to have to knock off. I don't know how committed he's going to be if you don't take care of him financially. But if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, you don't have to pay him more money, and you get him back for the second half of the season. It's not like they lose here. And Chris Jones is just going to lose out on like almost $10 million. So I don't really see what the benefit is here for Chris Jones to miss the start of the season and miss pretty much the first 2 months of the season. And if his demands are just ridiculous, that's one thing. But you got to think that they got to find some middle ground here where you could bump up his salary a few million and get him back in and have him there for the start of the season. But I really do believe here that the Chiefs have the leverage because the Chiefs just lost Tyreek Hill and won a Super Bowl. Now, I get it. You need players on the defensive side of the ball, and this Chiefs defense isn't great, but they make timely stops. And Chris Jones is a phenomenal defensive player in this league. But if he's telling you that he would show up week 8, I don't see why Kansas City now needs to rush to give him more money to get him in before then.
I know he sat out now, basically a month of training camp going on. So again, he's mentioned that the fines don't matter to him. He's made a ton of money, so mm-hmm. he can afford to lose $50,000 a day. But I have a tough time believing that's actually going to be the case, especially when you start losing game checks. I don't know if actually when push comes to shove, if this is a staring contest, he'll make it to week 8. But if you're Chris Jones, you're hoping. I mean, I think he would root against his team. You're hoping for the defense to suck. And I get it. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes, I would agree it probably doesn't matter that much. But you are probably hoping, hey, look, Mahomes is doing it all. You need me back here. Now meet my demands. And you have Mahomes, man. I just don't know. And unfortunately for him, the ultimate eraser. If the defense is struggling, you're still winning games, it's not going to help his leverage out.
People were questioning the Chiefs to start last year. The Chiefs got off still to a 5-2 start. Now, they lost to the Colts, which is inexcusable, and they lost to the Buffalo Bills. After that 5-2 start, which is still not like a bad start to a season, they only lost one game the rest of the way. And that was to the Cincinnati Bengals, where they lost 27-24, and they did go on to win a Super Bowl. So let's just play this game here, Hickey. Let's say Chris Jones is true and he's not going to show up until week 8. Just give me win-loss with the Kansas City Chiefs. They open up the season Thursday night at Arrowhead, which is no longer called Burrowhead, up against the Detroit Lions.
Win.
At Jacksonville, week 2. That could be tricky.
That is a tricky game. I'm going to say win, but a very, very tough game. It's a really good game.
I can't wait to see what the betting line is for that game. The Jaguars are a big dog. I made plus the points on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Chicago, week 3.
Win.
At the Jets, week 4.
Win.
At the Vikings, week 5.
Win.
Denver, week 6. Short week, Thursday night football.
And they own the division. I'll say win.
That game's actually at Arrowhead, excuse me. I don't know if I just said at Denver. Week 7 against the Chargers.
Win.
So there you go. Without Chris Jones, you just predicted them to go 7-0.
Worst case.
They lose one or two games.
5-2, I think, is like if all hell breaks loose here, 5-2 you're looking at through the first 7 games. Which, again, you're still feeling pretty good going forward here.
He really, he's a phenomenal player. But there's no leverage here for him. There really is no leverage. I'm sure they don't want to miss Chris Jones to start up the season. Clearly. You'd rather have Chris Jones than not. But right now, his average annual salary is about $20 million. That makes him 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, the ninth highest paid interior defensive lineman in the NFL. Like, he should have more money than that. But if it's just going to be you need Aaron Donald money at $31, $32 million, I don't think you're going from $20 to $32 million on the final year of your contract. Like, if that could get to 26, 27, okay. But the second highest paid interior defensive lineman actually is Quinnen Williams right now, who just got that new deal, $24 million a year. So you're not going to be number one. You're going to look for more than 24. What is that, 24 and a half, let's just say, 25? But how much more north of that are you really looking for? And what do you settle at? Because you're going to lose more money. Now, they may bump it up and it may negate it, but if you don't start the season with the new deal, you're going to lose about $1 million for every game that you miss, plus the already fines that you accrued, which is already over $1 million. So I think you got to figure this out before the start of the season. And shouldn't 26, 27, you know, even $25 million for the final year of this deal, you give him a $5 million raise, Hickey? Don't you think that should be enough for Chris Jones?
Look, especially when you have your quarterback, I get he's getting $500 million, but getting a quote-unquote discount where he is, if Joe Burrow gets paid, it was going to be the ninth highest paid quarterback, average annual value. If Burrow gets a new deal by year one, I think he's currently eighth. So it's like you have a quarterback that is severely underpaid in terms of what everyone else around him is getting. I get why Chris Jones is upset. You said ninth, right, in terms of highest paid interior defensive lineman. He's arguably easily a top three defensive interior lineman.
And remember that first Super Bowl had the big bat down at the line of scrimmage? Last year was a first-team All-Pro.
So I think also, too, if you are Chris Jones, I would probably guess that you want to definitely surpass Quinnen Williams, get to number two. But if you're trying to chase that Aaron Donald at 31, I think if you're the Chiefs, you say, look, Mahomes, the best player on our team, is not the highest paid player at his position. You're not going to be either.
And also, I know Aaron Donald wasn't healthy last year, and he had a bad year for Aaron Donald. But when healthy, and this is not diminishing what Chris Jones does, Aaron Donald's a better football player than Chris Jones. And it's such an outlier, that Aaron Donald contract. Like, look at the difference from average annual value from the first interior defensive lineman to the second. 31.6 for Aaron Donald. Quinnen Williams is at 24. But it just shows you, just like quarterbacks, and I'm not saying Chris Jones is a good football player. Chris Jones is a great football player. But how many good quarterbacks end up getting more than what they're worth and reset the market? Because if you could kind of make the case or say to yourself, oh, I'm good enough, I got to go to the top of the line at the market, sometimes teams take that. But that usually only happens at the quarterback position. Now, I could say why Chris Jones thinks he should surpass Aaron Donald, but it's not going to happen, especially on the final year of his contract. Or right now, they would have to bump you about $12 million to get you to surpass Aaron Donald. That's just not going to happen. And I don't think it makes sense to hold out until week eight. But for him, there's nothing to lose right now to just say that. But when push comes to shove, let's see if he actually goes down that far of a road.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Not sure where Ian Williams is, so we'll try to connect with him at another date as we still have to preview the San Francisco 49ers for first and goal. Evan Washburn going to join us coming up in an hour. Does a great job on the sidelines, a part of that Ian Eagle and Charles Davis crew for the NFL on CBS. I want to play you some audio. This is Todd Bowles, the head football coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Todd Bowles announced today that Baker Mayfield is the starting quarterback, and he says Baker Mayfield truly earned the job.
You know, we go through mini camp, training camp, and OTAs, and we love everything Kyle has done. And he's gotten leaps and bounds better than he has in the spring, and he's continuing to get better, and we're excited about him. Baker's our guy right now, experience-wise, and understanding the playbook just a little bit better. But Kyle's on the come, but we like both guys. We like where we're at. Baker's one, Kyle's two.
So Baker truly earned the job, according to Todd Bowles, but the last 30, 40 seconds that we just played for you was basically pumping up Kyle Trask. And notice what he said. Todd Bowles said that Baker Mayfield is the number one quarterback right now. I think Todd Bowles knows, and I don't believe in Todd Bowles as a head football coach, but even he knows that Baker Mayfield is not going to make it through the entirety of the season. And that Baker Mayfield entering the year of 2023 is not a good enough starting quarterback from only being a first round, first overall pick a few years ago. And I think Todd Bowles is cognizant of the fact that, yeah, you could say, you know, Baker earned the job and truly earned the job, But I don't know how much Baker truly earned the job. It was, you didn't have two good options. You have a younger player in Kyle Trask who's been there for the last few years but really hasn't had an opportunity because Tom Brady has been the quarterback, and Kyle Trask was, what, a second-round pick, I believe, coming out of Florida? And may have been a third. I think it was a second, though, for Kyle Trask. But anyway, it seemed like they were hyping up Kyle Trask there to eventually set up Kyle Trask to be the starting quarterback at some point. And you know, I'll make a bigger point here. Last year was not a good year, clearly, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They went 8-9 with the great Tom Brady. And Kyle Trask, by the way, was a second-round pick, 64th overall. But they went 8-9 with the great Tom Brady. Now, it's easy to look at this Buccaneers roster and still acknowledge that they have some really good players. Mike Evans, all he does is be a 1,000-yard receiver. Chris Godwin, when healthy, a great wide receiver in this league. Offensive line, outside of Tristan Wirfs, they got some question marks with some of the injuries there. And on the defensive side, I like Vita Vea. I like Devin White. I like Lavonte David. I like Shaq Barrett. I like Antoine Winfield Jr. Like, you got some players on this team. But I think something that people aren't realizing here is that you go from the standard of Tom Brady, of what it means to be a quarterback in the NFL, the greatest quarterback of all time. What I think people are underestimating here is just the vibe in that locker room has to be weird. Where I wonder how much Tampa Bay is sitting back saying, with a lot of those guys that are veterans, that won with Tom Brady, and Tom Brady changed the culture, instantly walks in right away, was the missing piece. You had the year before, Jameis Winston throwing all his interceptions, and then boom, Tom Brady goes there and wins a Super Bowl without even playing his best brand of football. And how many times throughout the season are the players going to be saying, only if we had Tom Brady, only if we had the greatest quarterback of all time? And Baker is right now technically the starting quarterback and the number one quarterback, but I don't think Baker Mayfield has the respect of that locker room, or I guess the better way to say it is that people in that locker room truly believe in Baker Mayfield. And that Todd Bowles answer, Hickey, man, that's a major red flag. That's a major cause for concern, where you can't just say Baker Mayfield is the starting quarterback, he won the job, and that's it. It's almost like you basically said Kyle Trask just isn't ready yet, but we really like what we're seeing from him. And I know Baker controls this and the ball is in Baker's hand first, and don't hand the baton over to Kyle Trask, but I have no reason to believe that Baker Mayfield's going to make it through this season and is going to be good enough to get through this entire season. And it seems like Todd Bowles says, yeah, Baker Mayfield's our quarterback one, but he doesn't even believe in Baker Mayfield based off that answer. That was a bizarre answer.
Well, Todd Bowles is part of the only reason, really, honestly, why I was hesitant even picking the Buccaneers in the first place. I don't think he's a very good head coach. But you look at Baker Mayfield, look, he's finally now at least in a system where he's had the entire offseason to be acclimated with his new teammates, right? He didn't have that in 2021, where he did have that in 2021, but got hurt in the first game. And unfortunately, that's where his season went down the chute. 2022, your trade to the Panthers was July 6th. Something like that, like in that range, like 2 weeks before your training camp starts, is now all of a sudden you have a new team, new playbook, new teammates. So now he's there all offseason. He's a guy I think is going to, he is someone who does galvanize, I think, an entire locker room and does have people follow him.
You sure about that? How about Odell in Cleveland?
Well, one guy, and again, Odell's kind of gone off, and again, it's not been...
he had a lot of teammates take the side of Odell Beckham there.
Exactly. Also, too, doesn't help when Baker Mayfield's playing like crap, in part because of the shoulder injuries playing through it. Again, was he better off maybe getting surgery? Looking back, probably.
But was Baker Mayfield ever great in Cleveland? Like, for Cleveland standards, Baker Mayfield won a playoff game.
He did.
But was Baker Mayfield ever looking like someone that you said, ah, he's playing to the great level of a number one overall pick, which he was?
To that level, no, but also in 2020, 15 touchdowns, two picks the last eight games of the season, including two playoff games. Like, he played his best stretch of football his career for the Browns for the biggest part of their season in 25 years.
But it was,
you know,
a small
flash. He did
flash.
Something that no quarterback before him has done in a long time in that town. A lot of people have flamed out. A lot of people have tried. He did it.
Totally understand. And he's deserved credit, and we've given him his credit for that. But just because the standard's so low in Cleveland with all the crap and, right, the laundry list of quarterbacks that they've added to that jersey throughout all those years, does that mean Baker Mayfield's actually a good quarterback?
I think so.
Based off what?
Based off that. his potential. I think he's finally put in a situation. He's not great. Again, he needs help around him. I'm not trying to tell you he's the greatest quarterback to ever live.
Years.
He's not someone that is going to take a crap team and put them on the shoulders and lift them to a title or a playoff appearance. He needs help around him. He absolutely does. And I think now you have help in terms of skill talent around him that he did not have as much in Cleveland, and he's also healthy. That, to me, is what he needs in order to be successful. And again, we're also talking about the worst division in the NFL and just winning it with maybe 8 or 9 wins. I'm not saying they're going 13-4 and he's going to be a top 5 MVP candidate. I think he's going to be, honestly, the best of the worst in that division this year.
And Baker Mayfield is replacing Tom Brady, who were last year, this was the crappiest division in the league. Tom Brady, the great Tom Brady, who was still playing really good football, was only able to get 8 wins.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
Tom Brady's not great last year.
What did I say? I said Tom Brady's playing still really good football. That offensive line was not good last year. They were banged up all over the place.
He had 25 touchdowns, 9 picks, 18th in passer rating.
Is Baker Mayfield going to do that this year?
But I'm saying, Brady was an average-ish quarterback last year, maybe above average, but he wasn't.
If Tom Brady wasn't on that team, they win 4 games last year.
He was not great where all of a sudden you take Tom Brady off the team and the Bucs are a 2-win team. You take Bryce Young off Alabama this year. I think Alabama's taking a step back because they were so quarterback-centric last year with Bryce Young. They were the Bucs are not quarterback-centric last year where Tom Brady was the only reason why they even were in any game whatsoever. You mentioned the offensive line was bad. Yes, they got devastated by injuries, absolutely.
And that's the only time when Brady struggles. And that's when Brady looks human, when the offensive line stinks. So
now you have a more mobile quarterback in Baker Mayfield that can ease some of those pains. Again, it's not like Tom Brady lit up the world last year and they were still 8-9. He was average.
He was 4,700 yards. He had 25 touchdowns and 9 interceptions.
They had no running game whatsoever, so they had to throw the ball 50 times
a game. Did they have a run game this year?
Got to work on it. That should be part of the...
they don't have a run game this year.
But I'm saying, Tom Brady...
They got worse this year, Tampa Bay.
...is not the reason why this team's going to stink. That's my... Baker Mayfield Baker Mayfield replacing Tom Brady...
Did the Bucs get worse this
offseason? I don't think it's that drastic of a... It's not that much of a downturn.
Yes, it is. What?
From last year to this year? No, it's not.
It's enormous. That team got vastly worse.
They were 8-9.
Yes.
With Tom Brady.
Yeah, with Tom Brady. And now you have Baker Mayfield.
But he was
hold on. The only positive thing you can say about Baker Mayfield is 6 or 7 good games in 2020.
My point is,
there's no reason to believe in Baker.
Huge shoes.
Yes, he is. He's the greatest quarterback of all time. The only reason why he didn't put up great stats last year is because the line stunk. It was the same damn thing.
Well, they're injured.
It was the same damn thing in Brady's final year in New England, where every jackass, right, when he put up similar numbers, said, oh, Brady's declining. Then he gets an offensive line, and boom, you go right back to the great Tom Brady, where he's putting up MVP-type numbers, throwing 40 touchdown passes in back-to-back seasons. And now you have Tristan Wirfs, who's even talking about the mental struggles going from right tackle to left tackle. You have Ryan Jensen coming off a major injury. This offensive line, you can't even argue, is going to be great. Can't even argue it's going to be good, and now you take Brady out of there with still no run game? I just don't see. It's weird to me, and I don't even like this division. And I was defending you earlier. I don't even like this division whatsoever. This division stinks. You can make an argument for any of these 4 teams. But the Baker confidence that you have, it's just interesting. And I'm not a Baker hater. I wish Baker Mayfield nothing the best. I hope he has a good career. I just don't get why you're so confident and Baker Mayfield, of all people, to lead this offense when this offense, on paper, outside of Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, which are 2 big pieces, this offense stinks. It really does.
I like the 2 receivers. Defense is solid. You got some names there. Again, this division's not good. Again, I'm not praising Baker Mayfield, telling you that this guy's going to be the best quarterback ever, but I like the fact that for the first time in a few years, he's settled down. He's now familiar with the people he's working with, and he's healthy. That's all I'm saying. I thought he was going to have a big 2021 year, played well in the Chiefs game week number 1. Unfortunately, week number 2 hurts his shoulder, and there goes the season.
Chiefs game
but lost. It's one of those. Yeah, but he played well. Played really well in that game. I know
they lost the game.
But he played well. Plenty of games Patrick Mahomes plays well, and they lose too. So it's not like a situation where you can't lose a game when your quarterback plays well. Baker Mayfield played well in Kansas City week 1, gets hurt week 2, and that's been the end of it. They threw, he stunk.
And now you're with a team that doesn't have as much talent as that Browns team had on the offensive side of the ball.
I like the receivers that they have. Again, I'm just in a bad division. I'm optimistic. I don't see how that's ludicrous or crazy.
But you hear Todd Bowles, You even said it to me before we got back. You said cut six is very interesting.
It was interesting.
Doesn't even seem like Baker Mayfield really won the job. It's kind of like the NFC South. You got to pick someone, so let's just go with Baker Mayfield to start off the season. He's the more seasoned guy here. Do you think Todd Bowles has a ton of confidence in Baker Mayfield? That was an infomercial for Kyle Trask, what we just heard.
Well, unfortunately, I don't have a lot of faith in Todd Bowles, and again, that's the biggest reason why I would even hesitate to pick in the Bucs, because this guy does not know what he's doing. Clearly, again, I don't know what he's looking at. I don't know what the practice tape says. I've watched a preseason game. Baker looked pretty damn good to me. I don't know what else you need to see, Todd.
Well, can Baker
maybe, maybe I'm going to be the coach. I'm going. You know what? I am.
You would be an idiot.
I am submitting my resume to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers now before the season starts. I will guide them to the playoffs.
Baker Mayfield has been in this league for 5 years, and all you could have to point out for to make your best case is what he did in the final 7 or 8 games of the 2020 season. At more times than not, Baker's been a bad quarterback than a good quarterback in the NFL. That's just the reality.
Well, he started in 2021, two teams in 2022. Like, I just think he got...
It's the reality of the
situation. I think he is a quarterback where he is unfortunately got in bad circumstances more than being a bad quarterback.
So what is... Oh, stop. The Browns roster was good enough. What is Baker Mayfield's touchdown-interception ratio this year? How many touchdowns, how many interceptions?
26-10? 26-8?
Okay. And those numbers, pretty similar to what Brady did last year, are going to lead them to more victories when the team got worse. That just does not add up to me.
Well, your line's better and healthy.
When you play that out. Yeah, Jensen's coming off a bad injury, and worse is switching positions.